Blog Talk Radio.
Let me put you on. We'll go live here in a minute.
Let's see if I look camera-wise.
All right, I think we got everything set. You ready?
Sure.
All right. Let's see.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati.
You're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news in the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
Welcome to a special Friday edition of Ringside Reporter Podcast. And tonight, we're going to be talking about the zone and the two fights everybody wants to see. Will they get put together? I don't know, man. I don't know. Of course, we're talking about Canelo Alvarez. His next fight could be against Triple G, could be against a number of people. We'll talk about that here in a minute. And we'll talk about the big fight, man, that has not been scheduled yet, Anthony Joshua and Andy Ruiz. So, you know, B, I was thinking about this. If you're John Skipper, the zone head John Skipper, you've got to be pulling your hair out right now. You've got two of the biggest promoters who are seemingly unable to put together two of the biggest fights that could take place right now. You know, let's start with Canelo here. Canelo, his first fight on the zone was against Rocky Fielding. His next fight was against Daniel, you know, Rocky Fielding, not exactly a world beater. Then the next fight was against Daniel Jacobs. You know, and that was a good fight. And now they want him to fight, you know, they're talking about him fighting Triple G. I think that was kind of a logical step when they signed Triple G, is to make that, you know, the three-peat in September. And now it looks like that may or may not happen. He sent out feelers to Sergey Kovalev, Demetrius Andrade, Jaime Munguia, Santa Claus, Triple G. He sent them out to everybody here. The word around the campfire is he doesn't want to fight Triple G. He doesn't want anything to do with Triple G. He hates Triple G. All right, that's the word that I'm hearing, and everything, you know, everybody seems to be saying and writing about and everything like that. That he doesn't want this fight to take place. But if you're John Skipper, if you're DAZN, that's probably the biggest fight that could take place. No, I don't.
Yeah,
what do you think, Dave? Yeah, I mean, if that is, I mean, as much as I don't want to see it, I think that's the biggest fight that could possibly take place, right?
I would assume so, because you figure Canelo is the biggest name they got. Joshua's probably number two, and Golovkin arguably could be number two or number three, probably number three. So yeah. you got your three top stars. You already had plans mapped out. Like, the zone wanted to make a Joshua Wilder fight. DAZN was really intent on making a Canelo Golovkin 3. That's why they brought Golovkin on board. But, you know, the thing is Canelo has attractive opponents out there. I mean, I don't think anyone would be upset if he fought Demetrius Andrade. I'm not crazy about a Jaime Munguia fight, but, you know, did a podcast the other day with H Money, and H Money made a great point. He said, you know, you got the two Mexicans going up against each other like a rivalry, you know. I'm sure that, you know, some fans and some, you know, some demographic out there would be interested in that as well. But the thing is this, didn't Canelo say that he didn't want to fight any Mexicans? Didn't he say that? before?
Yeah, I think he did. Yeah, I remember you guys saying something about that. I seem to remember something about that. But let's be realistic here. Does anybody see that Jaime Munguia as a competitive fight for either Triple G or Canelo?
No. No, because
I think he gets washed in six rounds.
Yeah, he doesn't have great defense. Jaime Munguia. Jaime Munguia is very green, and I don't think all of the problems of Jaime Munguia, with all due respect, the defensive liabilities, and all of that, is going to go away once he moves up to 160. Because a lot of his problems weren't just because of the weight; it was just because he got hit too much. He's got to work on his defense. I mean, obviously, he's never going to be a Sugar Ray Leonard. He's never going to be a slick Floyd Mayweather type fighter, but you're not going to have a long career if you get hit as much as that guy. No question. But, you know, at least Canelo has attractive offers on the table. Now, you know, the Kovalev thing is out the window. But
is it, though? I mean, you know, and that's another thing.
Yeah, I heard it was out the window.
Let's talk about that for a second here. All right, so I hear that. I'm hearing the same thing, that Kovalev may be fighting Anthony Yard now.
That's almost done.
Well, let's talk about that for a second here. So he moves up two weight classes. It's a very attractive fight. I like that fight. I like that fight a lot.
Yeah.
I think we would obviously have to favor Canelo in that, but it's interesting. Him going up two weight classes against this, you know, this guy who for a long time people had up there, man. He was way up on the top, you know, the pound-for-pound list, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody thought he beat what's the guy's name?
Alvarez, you're talking about?
No, Kovalev. Who did he beat? Andre Ward. I thought he beat him in the first fight. Obviously, Ward knocked him out in the second fight. But, I mean, a lot of people thought he beat him in that first fight, including myself.
Yeah.
You know, so that's a very, you know, he came back after being knocked out by Leider Alvarez, came back and, you know, beat him by unanimous decision. It was a clearly one-sided fight.
Yeah.
He could box a little bit. It's a good fight. So, moving up to two weight divisions, they apparently lowballed him. I mean, apparently they gave him a real lowball offer. Golden Boy and everybody, you know, associated with that, gave him a huge lowball offer. Lost that one. So then they go to, then they're talking about Jaime Munguia, who seems to be the other front runner here. Demetrius Andrade, They gave him an offer, or I don't know if they sent feelers out to him. They did something. But they're also talking to him, too. But Jaime Munguia is the one that I'm hearing from one of my guys that says that Munguia has already agreed to terms. So,
really?
He's agreed to terms. Now, whether they pick him next or not, that I don't know.
I'm surprised to hear that he agreed to terms.
Yeah.
His first fight at 160, taking on a guy like Canelo. Wow.
Yeah, and the thing is, man, like Jim Jay is saying low ball, what was the amount? What did I read? It was, I know it was, who was it?
I heard it was six.
I heard it was less than Jacobs, though. I heard it was less than what Jacobs got or something like that.
Yeah, it was about half what they offered Jacobs. They offered Jacobs about 10 or 12 or something like that. So it was like five or six.
Yeah, that's what it was definitely low ball. I mean,
is that
definitely
a bad
low
offer,
ball.
Though? Is that a bad offer? Kovalev didn't even make $1 million when he fought Ward.
That's, you know what? I was thinking that same thing when they said it was a low ball offer. And
well,
I was thinking about it. I'm like, well, wait a second. Well, on that second Andre Ward fight, he got hosed.
Yeah.
As far as the finances go, he got hosed.
First one, too.
But the thing is, though, yeah, absolutely. But the thing is, though, I think that's what everybody's got that Abel Sanchez mentality. You know what I mean? Where Abel Sanchez says, well, I make 10%. Now that you're making $100 million, I got 10% of that.
Yeah.
Not always the case. You know, they're going to give you a career-high payday, but, yeah, he's going to get the lion's share, you know? So
I don't think $5 or $6 million is bad for that fight for Kovalev.
I don't think it is either. They called it a low-ball offer, but again, man, I don't think it's too bad. But again, if he's making $6 million and, you know, Canelo's making $50 million, who knows? I mean, I don't know what Canelo's making for the fight.
He would probably make at least 30.
Let's talk about this. Let's talk about a low-ball offer, though. Let's talk about the $6 million for that fight.
Sure.
Steve Rolls. got 14.5 million, or Triple G got 14.5 for fighting Steve Rolls.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah, you know, I mean, that's, I mean, for Steve Rolls. So they, I mean, they can get, I mean, somebody, you know, I don't know. I think they probably could have, if they wanted that fight to happen, they could have gave him a little bit more money.
Yeah, they probably didn't want it to happen right now.
They didn't want it to happen. You know, I think when they offer him, you know, they're kind of gauging interest. They're kind of gauging interest, not just for the fighters, but they're also gauging interest in the public. Will this sell? Will this not sell?
I love the Andre fight. I would love to see
too.
That. But I don't think we're going to.
I don't think we're going to see it either.
I hope we don't see that Munguia fight. So if you're Golovkin though, do you give in and just say, you know what, okay, we'll fight in Vegas, or if he does agree to say we'll fight in Vegas, will Canelo come up with something else to try to make the fight not happen? You know what I mean? This is about fighting off your nose despite the rest of your face type situation right now. What's going on with Canelo?
Yes and no. Because look at the last time. Look at the last time they fought. Triple G was going to walk away, and he said, listen, I want 50% or I want 45% or whatever the percentage was.
Well, he was still the champion at the time. Now he doesn't have the belts.
Yeah.
He's got the leverage. He's got the
leverage. They weren't going to cover it. Oscar said he came out of his pocket, which is nonsense, you know, but they weren't going to, you know, he was going to walk away from that fight, and I think he wasn't going to look back because he knew he had won the first one, you know,
Well, this goes back to what I said before when DAZN was giving these guys these guaranteed contracts. So now they're locked in. They're locked into a minimum amount they can make, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you're getting $15 million to fight Rocky Fielding, you're getting 14.5, close to $15 million to fight Steve Rolls. With all due respect to Rocky Fielding and Steve Rolls, again, you're fighting guys and you're getting that much money. And you have like a 99.9% chance of winning those fights. If you're either one of those guys, Canelo or Golovkin, do you really give a fuck anymore at this point?
No.
Who you fight?
No.
Right? So, again, you know, I talked to Steve Kim about this. I asked him, I said, was it a big mistake locking these guys in for so many fights with the amount of money that they gave them? And now this thing could end up blowing up in their face because I don't, again, let's not pretend we know. I'm not going to pretend I know what the contract exactly is.
Right.
But I'm sure they can't put a gun to either one of Canelo's or Golovkin's head and says you have to fight this guy, right? I don't think that's in the contract because if it was, if this was a UFC Dana White type situation, the fight would have been signed already, right? So apparently they can say how much they're going to pay for a specific fight. They can, you know, they can do all those things, right? But these guys have exclusivity deals with DAZN. It's a different situation with Joshua. They have first and last refusal with Joshua. And they also passed on a Dillian White fight. They passed on that Dillian White Joseph Parker fight. That fight wasn't on DAZN. That fight ended up being, I think, on Showtime because DAZN decided to pass on that. So it's not the same situation like they have with Joshua where they can pass on a fight if they want to. They really can't pass. They can't pass on a Golovkin or a Canelo fight because these two guys are locked in. So did DAZN put themselves in a tight spot here by doing what they did, by giving these guys such a lofty guarantee without having any assurances that they would end up that they would fight each other? Should it have been put in the contract that you have to fight each other within a specific time frame? Shouldn't that have been put in there? Did DAZN drop the ball on that? These are all good questions.
I think that that's the thing too, is that, you know, where does, like, you know, if you're DAZN, like I said, if you're John Skipper and you're trying to figure this out, like, you got two big promoters here. You got, you know, Eddie Hearn, and we'll talk about him in a little while, but you got Oscar De La Hoya. You know, Triple G is signed up with DAZN. This should be a cakewalk negotiation. You sign. We're both on the same network. It's the biggest fight that can be made right now. I don't understand what's going on. I hold that promoter. Yeah, I hold that promoter. I bring Oscar in, and I dress him down and say, you better make this fight happen because we are paying a record sum of money for Canelo Alvarez.
Well, here's the thing now. Now, Golden Boy has a lot of fighters in their stable, right? And I'm sure they want to showcase a lot of those fighters on his own. Now, do each and every one of those Golden Boy fighters have exclusivity deals? Now, the Zone can turn around and say, oh, you're going to fuck me on this? Okay, I'm not going to put your prospects on. You know?
They have a lot. You know, I'll tell you what. Everybody thinks that, you know, hey, listen, they can he can do with Canelo what he wants. Oscar can. Oscar can say, hey, he doesn't want to fight him.
Yeah.
They can make that decision. But there's a lot of pressure that can be put on De La Hoya to make this fight. You know, you wanted that Tuesday night show. You wanted those prospects on here. Yeah, I don't know if we're going to have room for them, man.
They don't have to put those guys on, right? You want to fuck us with Canelo? We're not going to help you build up your prospects.
That's it. I mean, that's the thing. You know, you want to screw around and you want to do this, like I said, play these games and stuff. Listen, just make the fight. What is the holdup on this fight? I think that's the other.
Oh, man, I'm sorry. Thanks.
I mean, what is the holdup on this fight? We all knew the Sergey Kovalev fight probably wasn't going to happen. Callum Smith is the other one that they've been tossing around, which I don't think is going to happen. That's a dangerous fight. Kovalev is a dangerous fight to an extent. I think Callum Smith is more of a dangerous fight than Kovalev is for Canelo.
Yeah. But again, you know, a lot of us thought Kovalev was done when he was going into his rematch with Alvarez. He looked sharp in that fight. So, but the problem is style-wise, Canelo can just fight so well on the inside while Kovalev can't. So you have to kind of say to yourself, you know, Kovalev's not really quick on his feet. He's not going to be able to get away from Alvarez if Alvarez decides to cut the ring off. Doesn't have great defense on the inside either. And, it's just a bad – on paper, it seems as though at this particular time it looks like a bad style matchup for Kovalev.
Not to mention Kovalev has been – he's been out a couple of times now. He's kind of on the tail end. If he's not on the tail end, he's definitely on the dark side of his career.
That aura of invincibility is gone.
Right. Just a few reminders here. If you like what we're doing and everything like that, go ahead and remember to hit the like button. All right, remember to hit the like button and all that other good stuff. Also, too, if you guys want to call in, you can call it at 323-870-3857. Once again, that's 323-870-3857. So, a Callum Smith fight for Canelo is a dangerous fight. I don't anticipate I think that's a more dangerous fight than Triple G.
It probably is, but I still think he beats Callum Smith.
Well, I think he beats Callum Smith, and I think he beats Kovalev, and I think he beats Andrade, and I think he should be favored for anybody who gets put in front of him. But that's not to say it's not a dangerous fight. They are definitely dangerous. There's definitely levels to the danger levels here. And if we were to rank them, I would put Callum Smith right up there at the top. Followed by Andrade. You know.
I would put Andrade at the top, to be honest with you. But the problem is this. We've been there, done that before with Canelo. Like Canelo versus Lara. Lara didn't get the decision. I had Lara winning that fight 8-4. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you this in regards to the Andrade fight. Could you see yourself watching that fight, scoring that fight, and at the end having Andrade up, but then knowing for yourself that he's not going to get the decision? Can you see that happening? Is that playing a factor in your decision making on who's going to win that fight, or do you think Alvarez will just win that fight clean?
I think the fight. I'll be honest with you. I think the fight may look a lot like the Jacobs fight.
Really? I don't see it that way.
It may look a lot like the Jacobs fight where Canelo ekes out a decision. You think that Andrade wins, and they just screw him on the decision.
Yeah, because they're not going to like his style of fighting, and they'll see him fighting off the back foot, and he'll lose rounds based off of that.
I can see that, too. Andrade, like I said, man, he reminds me a lot of Andre Ward. He just does, just the way he does things, just the way, not necessarily his style, but just his ability to make people miss the way he moves on defense.
Because I could see Canelo getting to Callum Smith. I think he'd have a harder time getting to Andre than pinning Andre down, in my opinion.
I think they'll be good. That's a tough fight. I tell you, that's a tough fight. What I don't like, I tell you, but why I would favor Callum Smith as the toughest fight is because
size.
He's got all that in his size.
Yeah.
He's strong, and he can fight. He's got good defense. He's got good offense. He's got good movement, and he can hit. And not that Canelo can't, but you got to figure, he's a naturally bigger guy. Canelo's not that natural. He's going up in weight. He's not the naturally bigger guy.
But no disrespect to Callum Smith. He's good at what he does.
Sure.
But he's basically a straight punch type guy. He's a guy that fights on the inside, the outside mostly. He likes space. He's one of those guys that there's not a lot of dimensions to his game. It's like, but he has dimensions that he does have are very strong. He's got pretty quick hands, but he's not really. When I've watched him fight before, he seems kind of like a pattern type fighter where he's a repetitive type attacker. He's not really, doesn't give you a lot of different looks. And I thought before he stopped, George Groves, I thought that fight was pretty close. I thought maybe George Groves, you could argue, could have been up. But George Groves, you know, had the bad shoulder, whatever. I think a more healthier Groves probably would have beaten Callum Smith. No disrespect, and I'm not taking anything away from him. Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, because I mean, I'll be honest with you. I think Groves had some miles on him. I think his body failed him. I don't want to make excuses, but he had a fucked up shoulder.
It is what it is. It is what it is. I mean,
yeah,
he was an aging fighter. You know.
I think that fight was maybe a year or two earlier. I think I picked Groves to win. And I think I had him up at the time of the stoppage. I thought he did very well early on, but he just.
I don't think I had him up at the time. I think I had.
It was
pretty wide.
Oh, you had him wide? No, I thought it was close.
I think I had him wide, yeah. I thought
Groves, like, I think got off to a quick start. And then he couldn't jab anymore because his arm was fucked up. And that's when I thought Callum Smith got it coming on. But I don't want to take anything away from Callum Smith. He's still an outstanding fighter. But I think Canelo's a little bit too crafty for him. Like Canelo shows you a lot of different looks. He's got a lot of good head movement, upper body movement. Throws outstanding feints. He throws off-speed punches. He knows how to really open guys up. He knows how to attack that body. He knows how to cut the ring off. He's not fast on his feet, but he's good at anticipating that. Now he's processing things faster. So now he's getting a jump on guys where he's taking away that weakness of not being quick on his feet because he knows what his opponent's going to do, knows where his opponent's going to be, and he pretty much beats him to the spot now because of his anticipation. I don't think Callum Smith has that type of dimension to his game. That's why I think the problem lies. But Andre does. I think Andre is a lot more cerebral. I'm not trying to throw shade on Callum Smith by any means. I really like the guy. But I just think in terms of being a cerebral, crafty, tricky, versatile type fighter, I think Andre's got a lot of tricks up his sleeve, more so than Callum Smith. That's why I think that fight's tougher, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's either fight. Let's put it this way. Either one of those fights, I would take way over the Triple G fight. No question.
Yeah.
Those are awesome fights.
But
I would, by curiosity factor, like to see him fight Kovalev.
Yeah, because of the challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Except for the two weight classes. I mean, I don't hate that fight. I'll tell you what fight I do hate is the Munguia fight.
I hate the Munguia fight.
That's James Kirkland all over again.
That's a terrible fight. And you know what? You're going to ruin him. You're going to ruin Munguia.
Yeah.
You really are.
I'm surprised he agreed to terms.
You know, Steve Kim on Twitter put out a thing, and he says that, you know, a lot of people are surprised that they're, you know, Munguia's name is being mentioned with Triple G and Canelo and everything like that. And he basically the tweet said that, his handlers are okay with putting him in there because they don't know that he has that much of an upside. They think he's kind of reached his potential. He's kind of shot it. You know what I mean? He's pretty much where he's going to go.
So they're cashing him out, basically.
They're cashing him out, basically.
If he's going to get – we know he's going to get beat up here. He's going to get beat.
They know it too.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. I'm speaking in third person in regards to them. So they're saying to themselves, we know he's going to get beat up here. We might as well get him paid while he's getting beat. And you know what? Now that you mention that, that sounds like a plausible plan now.
Yeah,
I think if I was them, I would probably do the same thing.
Tony Yayo says, Zanfer cashing out a 22-year-old. I mean, listen, the way it is just the way it is. We've seen Munguia fight. I mean, you've seen Munguia fight. And if we, you know, listen, if you're in the trenches with him and those trainers looks, you know, I got to think that, you know, these trainers – they look at you, the trainers, the managers, and they could tell right away if you've hit your ceiling or not.
Yeah.
I mean, right? Am I right here? I mean, they know.
You want to hear something sad? You know Lou Duva, obviously, you know, and you know the fighter Rocky Lockridge.
Oh, yeah.
And he said, Lou Duva, I kind of lost a little bit of respect for Lou Duva after this, and I'm sorry, I'm just going to say it. I want to put it out there. He said, before he sent Rocky Lockridge, out there to fight, you know, he basically said Rocky Lockridge was fighting somebody. I forget who it was, but he said, I knew he was shot. Basically, I knew he was a shot fighter.
Yeah.
So if you knew he was a shot fighter, why the fuck did you? Like, why didn't you just tell him? Why didn't you just tell him? You know, Eddie, this is why
Eddie. Did he listen, though?
Maybe not, but at least.
Yeah, at least they knew going out.
This
yeah.
is why Eddie Fudge is the truth. Eddie Fudge looked Freddie Roach in the eye and told him, he said, son, you should retire. And Freddie Roach hated him for it at the time, but he knew he was right. He knew he was right, and eventually he did retire. And he basically made him an assistant trainer. Because Eddie Fudge really did, he had a very good relationship with Freddie Roach, but he told me that, son, you need to retire.
Yeah, touch it up, man. And Freddie Roach, again, has been a much better trainer than a boxer. I mean, I remember watching Freddie Roach coming up, man. And, he was good, but he was never, like, on that level.
Yeah.
That world-class level that you knew more of an opponent.
Yeah, it was a great, great, exciting style to watch, though.
Yeah, for sure.
But he told him, he said, son, you need to retire. You know? And that's tough to hear. And I think that is the job of the trainer. I think the trainer's got to be real with the fighter, because you're not. It's not like you're playing with X's and O's here. You're not on a fucking chalkboard drawing up a game plan, and you lose a game. So what? There's always another game. I know in football they leave a piece of themselves out on that field. I know that, but in boxing, I think it's much more prevalent that they're leaving a bigger piece of themselves in that ring a lot of times in certain fights. I mean, so it's really on the onus of the trainer to really tell the fighter the truth.
Yeah.
You got to tell the fighter the truth.
You have to. You have to. Because, I mean, these guys are going in there risking their life. I mean, they really are, you know.
And I'm not sitting there saying they're going to sit there and tell Munguia, hey, man, we know you're going to lose this fight.
Right.
But obviously they're trying to get the kid a big payday before he loses to someone else for a lot shorter money.
It's just going to be a lot shorter money.
A lot shorter
that
money.
Way. Yeah.
Because think about it. They probably give him like $8 million. I would think.
Yeah.
For this fight with Canelo.
So let me ask you this now: if he goes in there, is there a downside to it? I mean, let's face it. He goes in there, gets blown out. Everybody's expecting him to get blown out, all right? But he got paid. He got a big payday. If he goes in there and holds his own for a little while, makes it interesting, he just earned himself probably another big payday.
Yeah.
If he actually wins the fight, which is a big long shot, but, hey, when you put gloves on, anything can happen. There's really no downside to it.
Can I tell you what the downside is, honestly?
Sure.
I can see him getting seriously hurt in that fight. I really can.
Really?
Yes. Watch this kid, Eric. Go back and watch this kid. Watch when he gets hit. Some guys, we've talked about this, they catch the punch at the end, they can see it, they brace, they roll. This guy takes every shot, watch, and his head does a swivel. It does a swivel, right? Go back and watch with it. So imagine Canelo. You know what I'm envisioning? You remember when Canelo hit Kirkland with that fucking hook?
Yeah.
And his head just fucking spun around?
Yeah.
Like the Exorcist before he went down?
I remember that.
I could see him doing that to Munguia, and the kid's only 22.
Tony Ayo said Chavez Jr. did not get seriously hit, hurt. You know, the thing is with that fight, I really do believe there was like a gentleman's agreement. You know how there's, you know how like when you're, you know, listen.
I agree.
Don't press me, and I won't get you out of there. You know what I mean?
But Chavez.
If you hurt me, you try to hit me, you know, we're going to get you, we're going to get rid of you.
But Chavez got an outstanding chin. He could take punches.
Chavez got a chin from his father, man. Yeah, he can take a shot.
He'll get hit with a punch, and he'll just, like, walk through the punch. Like, his fucking face, his head doesn't even move.
He's a much bigger guy, too.
Like, watch Munguia when he gets hit. It looks like his fucking head's on, like, a swivel. It's every punch the guy gets hit with, it's like, his head just freaking goes flying backward. Those are the brain-rattling shots. Those are the shots that take years off your career, not only your career, possibly your life, after boxing.
Well, let's talk about this. Now, let's say that fight does go through. Let's say the Munguia fight does go through. Hypothetically, we don't know.
I'm praying with every ounce of my body it doesn't. Yeah.
And we're speculating.
I got you.
Say that fight goes through.
Yeah.
What's next for Triple G?
That's what I'm saying.
He rolls out, you know what I mean? I mean, you got Triple G, and do they say, hey, put Triple G in there with Andrade? You know,
let me tell you this. It's going to be presented that, okay, well, now if he's going to fight McGee, you got to fight Andrade, right? And if he passes on the Andrade fight, it's going to be ugly for him. I think he will, too. But I think it'll be ugly because the zone's going to get real pissed, number one. And number two, the fans are going to, it's going to be a PR, it'll be a PR nightmare.
That's why, if you're John Skipper, Triple G versus Canelo has to happen next.
Has to happen.
Or else the inmates are running the asylum here.
The zone will be the laughing stock if they can't make this fight. People will be like, why the fuck did you sign Canelo then? Why did you not Canelo? Why the fuck did you end up? Why did you go and sign Golovkin and give him $100 million for six fights?
Yeah.
If you couldn't present this fight, they will look like such idiots if they can't make this fight happen.
I agree. Let's go to the phones here. 901. This is Memphis. I believe this is Dogman.
Dogman, what's up, Daddy?
What's going on?
Hey, yo, what's going on? How y'all doing today?
What's happening, man?
Y'all can hear me good?
Yes, you can hear us.
Okay, yes, I hear you good. Man, shout out to the Ringside Reporter. Thank you for having me on the show. Beeb, I hope I impressed you, you know what I mean? I hope I showcase some of my boxing knowledge. And, you know, I just want to get on this topic you guys are talking about.
Definitely.
I appreciate it, too. I just want to let you know I appreciate that, and thank you.
We signed him to a 10-day contract.
Okay. You know, it means a lot to me, though. It really do, especially coming from you guys, man. I've been a loyal fan since day one, you know? So thank you guys for giving me an opportunity. Thank you, Eric, and thank you, Beeb. And I just want to talk about these fights. And, Beeb, you're definitely right, brother. Andrade is the best possible match. The importance of having one champion, one face, one name, that's the whole purpose of boxing, that we unify each division and make an undisputed champion. So that is definitely the fight to make. That's the first fight we should make. But, I mean, like I said, Andrade's coming off of 3 fights in 8 months. Andrade had a hurt shoulder, and Andrade also hurt his knee in his last fight against Sulecki. So I'm just thinking about this. I mean, that would be 4 fights in less than a year. And then you're finding the best in Canelo. So, you know, just me as an Andrade fan, I'm just thinking, is that the best move right now coming off of three fights? You know, coming off of three fights, a shoulder injury and a knee injury. I mean, I think Andrade could take him. I think a Andrade at 90% can beat Canelo. You know what I mean? I just want him to be 100% when he takes this undisputed match. So, and I'm just going down the line of possible Canelo opponents. We have Sergey Kovalev, light heavyweight champion of the world. We have Triple G. You know, that's a big fight, him and Triple G. That's the fight. That's why DAZN signed Triple G, you know, so they can make this trilogy fight. You know, I don't know exactly when they wanted to make this fight happen.
In your opinion, why isn't this fight happening? Why hasn't it been signed yet?
Just for me, just my knowledge, I'm thinking Canelo. It's probably Canelo right now. Canelo doesn't want to make the fight happen right now. It's like Triple G, he's ready to do it right now, but I think Canelo is playing like hard to get. You know, there's been bad blood since day one with these two, you know, so I don't think there's no love lost. I feel like the fight is going to happen, but I feel like it's going to happen when Canelo wants it to happen. You know, Canelo's the A side. He's going to call the shots, but it will happen. That's why DAZN got Triple G to make this trilogy, to make the biggest fight. And we all know Canelo versus Triple G did 1 million pay-per-view buys 2 times. That's the last pay-per-view in boxing to do 1 million views. You guys understand me? You see what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Okay, and also, look, we were talking about Haman Munguia. You guys just hear me out for 1 second. I mean, I know, Beeb, you said that Kirkland, this reminds you of Kirkland. But, Beeb, you have to understand, Haman Munguia has a great chin. He's never even been knocked down. He's never been knocked out. He has never lost a fight. And, you know, he's undefeated, world champion at 22 years old. He's been calling out Canelo for 2 years. He's been calling out Canelo for 2 years. This is something that he wants.
With any kind of competition like you're going to see with Canelo.
Let me just name some of his opponents. You have it. He beat. Okay, Eric. But, Eric, he's beat Saddam Ali, a former Olympian, a former champion who beat Miguel Cotto. He's also beat Liam Smith. He knocked out Saddam Ali. And he knocked out Liam Smith, a former.
I know his resume just like you do, but the thing is, we both know, if we're being honest, he's never fought anybody of competition like he's going to see with Canelo. He's never fought any upper echelon guys.
Okay, I'm saying he knocked out Liam Smith, and so did Canelo.
He was
But he knocked him out. He won, Eric. He won the fight.
He did.
Yeah, so that's a common Canelo opponent. He did the same thing Canelo did. He knocked him out. Okay, let me say a few more things. Haman Munguia, I don't know if you guys know that Haman Munguia, his new trainer is Eric Morales, the Mexican legend, the first ballot Hall of Famer. Eric Morales will train him for his next fight against Triple G or Canelo. So that means a lot. He will show improvement, and he will be at his natural weight. And like I said before, people said Daniel Jacobs, he's way taller than Canelo. People gave Jacobs a great chance. What about Haman Munguia, who's the same height as Daniel Jacobs? Why nobody doesn't say, oh, he's bigger than Canelo. Haman Munguia, he's bigger, which is true. He's the same height as Daniel Jacobs. What about Haman Munguia at 22 years old trying to fight the best? Name another fighter at 22 who's doing the same thing. When Gervonta Davis was presented the fight with Lomachenko, Canelo.
He's trying
to fight
Canelo.
He been calling him out.
Well, so him and everybody else, they're all trying to fight Canelo because they know he's the money man. They're not trying to fight him for legacy. They know he's the money man. It's not like this is a big secret.
I believe Haman Munguia is a Mexican.
What you calling him out?
I know about Mexican fighters. And they fight for legacy, man. These guys have been fighting since they were 16 years old. This is what they do. This is all that they know. He wants to fight the best. And last time I checked, Mexican versus Mexican always produce the biggest fights in boxing with the likes of Eric Morales, Marco Antonio Barrera. What about Marquez versus Vasquez on Showtime? These are just great fights, and this will continue on the legacy. And I give Jaime Munguia a chance. I do. Any fighter has a chance, especially when you're undefeated and you never lost before. I don't want to bash Jaime Munguia. I like him a lot, and he's aggressive. He has a true Mexican style, Beef. I mean, don't you think that would be an exciting fight, Jaime Munguia versus Canelo? Don't you think it would be blood and guts? Mexican versus Mexican,
no.
Mano y mano. You don't think
this is one way?
One way. What was the last knockout Canelo got, Eric? Give me the last. Give me your.
They can have.
What's the last knockout Canelo got?
Morales. What knockouts does Canelo have?
The last knockout. I said, what was his last knockout? It was 3 years ago versus Amir Khan. No, it wasn't. It was against Rocky Fielding. His last stoppage was against Rocky Fielding.
His
last stoppage was against Rocky Fielding.
Which was two.
Who, Canelo? He fought the best competition.
Yeah.
Okay, Rocky Fielding. But I'm saying, Canelo.
Do you think Daniel Jacobs?
He didn't knock out Jacobs. He didn't hurt Jacobs.
It doesn't matter.
Me personally, I take Jaime Munguia over Daniel Jacobs. I think Daniel Jacobs is overrated, and not everybody's entitled to their own opinion. I think Daniel Jacobs is overrated.
I'm just saying this, man.
That's what I think. Daniel Jacobs has been knocked out before. He's been knocked out before.
I think him and Munguia is a good fight.
Can you ever see that
Canelo versus Munguia?
Do you ever see that episode of Game of Thrones?
You
said
Canelo?
No,
I didn't see that.
With the Red Wedding?
I didn't see that. I didn't see.
I think Canelo would reenact the Red Wedding with Jaime Munguia.
Yeah, it's a whitewash, man. It doesn't matter. Fighters that have never been knocked out waiting to get knocked out.
Anyone can get knocked out.
I think Jaime Munguia got knocked out.
Yeah. Nobody gets knocked out.
I think Jaime Munguia will give him a good fight, man. I like Jaime Munguia.
I hope he does. If they fight, I hope he does, because I don't want
to
watch.
If the fight gets made, I'm going to be rooting for Jaime Munguia to put up a good fight.
Absolutely.
I mean, I'm not going to want Jaime Munguia to get knocked out quick. Go ahead, sir.
He's never been knocked out. How could you predict he'd get knocked out? He's never been knocked out before, Beeb. Never been knocked down.
Doesn't matter.
That's crazy.
There's many undefeated fighters that haven't been knocked out that I picked to get knocked out, and they got knocked out.
Yeah.
It depends on who they're fighting.
Yeah, I believe.
Depends on the competition. Almost everybody to a man who reviews this fight says that, hey, this is way, way too early for Munguia. Way too early. But the speculation is he's hit a ceiling. That's the speculation, that he's hit a ceiling.
Okay. How old was Canelo when he fought Mayweather?
That's happened.
Canelo was 23 years 24? Old when he fought Mayweather. People said he was too young. But he was 23. Canelo fought Mayweather at 23.
Okay.
Yep. Yeah, what's wrong with Jaime Munguia fighting at 22 years old, Canelo? I don't see a problem with that. I feel like this fight in Mexico will be massive. It'll be a huge fight in Mexico.
We knew when he fought Mayweather that he wasn't getting knocked out. We knew that. We knew Mayweather was going to knock him out. We knew Mayweather, if he was going to win, he's going to have to whitewash him. And he did. And he won on the scorecards. You know, my big fear with Munguia going in this early in his career.
He's going to get hurt.
It's going to damage him psychologically, because he's going to get beat badly in this fight. This ain't going to be close. I mean, this is going to be a bad loss.
Okay.
This could damage him at 22 years old.
You guys are wanting. Look, you guys are making me want this fight even more. So Jaime Munguia could prove you guys wrong. I'm not going to say he's going to win. I give him a chance to win, but I guarantee you he won't get knocked out. I guarantee you that's why I want this fight. Because, I mean, you guys probably – I think you need to watch Jaime Munguia fight again. The fight with Dennis Hogan, that was his last fight at 154. He struck.
H Money, let me tell you this.
Yes, sir.
If Jaime Munguia lasts more than 9 rounds, I will call you the God for the rest of your life. I'll say H Money the God. I'll say H Money the God.
No,
if,
no.
If this
no,
fight,
don't call me the God.
This fight. No, okay.
Call you H Money, whatever.
No, not the
guy.
Call me the rookie of the year. The rookie of the year. Give me the rookie of the year.
We'll call you the
yes, I want the rookie of the year.
Okay,
but Beeb, I guarantee he won't. I guarantee you he won't get knocked out, and I guarantee you, he puts on a better fight than Daniel Jacobs. Dude, Jacobs took a payday. You guys want to talk about collecting a payday? Okay, I'll be waiting for this, but I know you guys not feeling Munguia, so I'm going to call back in. I'm a Munguia fan, man. He remind me of Chavez. He remind me of Julio. And Julio Cesar Chavez is always in his corner,
Julio
supporting
Junior,
him.
Right?
I mean,
he remind you of Julio Jr.? He doesn't, don't tell me he reminds you of Julio
the
Senior,
only, the,
come on, son.
The legend.
Come
the
on,
the one with 109 wins. The one and only Chavez.
Wow.
Come
109
on.
Wins. Okay? You know how many wins Munguia got at 22 years old?
H-Money.
I love Munguia, man. I love Munguia.
H-Money, anytime I need somebody to sell something or hype something up for me, man, I'm gonna hire
you. I'll bring
you know how to sell something, my brother.
He talks, man. He knows how to talk.
Definitely.
You are an inspirational voice, brother. You're an inspirational voice.
You got it.
You can make me believe in Santa Claus if you wanted to. That's how
look,
convincing you.
I want to leave on this note.
Just... you come off sometimes. Go ahead.
Let me leave on this note right here. I just want to say Jaime Munguia will definitely be at his natural weight at 160. He's a bigger man than Canelo, 6 foot. I feel like he's going to be hydrated this time. And I'm telling you, he's going to put on a show that you guys won't forget. He's going to bring the action. He's not going to run. He's going to fight. And you can guarantee blood and guts in this fight, the most entertaining fight. I'm telling you guys, believe me. But thank you guys, man. Next time, you guys need me. If you guys, if you need me, call me, man. I'm ready.
All right, man. Thank you very much.
All right, H-Money.
Good call, man. I tell you what, he does have conviction. I'll give him that. He does have conviction. But I'm going to tell you right now, there's no way Munguia lasts 9 rounds with Canelo. I'll put a pie bet on that one, man. I mean, no, I'll put my title up and everything.
Yeah, I don't think so either, Eric.
Absolutely not. Let me tell you what, he said that Eric Morales is training him. Listen, man, he could bring back Eddie Futch and Angelo Dundee back to train him. He ain't winning that fight, son.
No.
Ain't no way he's winning that fight.
No way.
100% no.
I don't 100% see it.
No. Louis says, H Money walking Munguia to the ring.
That's crazy.
Oh my goodness. Hey, there it is. So, hey, who is Canelo going to fight next? Bottom line is, hey, it just remains to be seen.
Yeah.
Well, let's talk about this fight. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Let me just end it on this note. He's supposed to be fighting September 14th, right?
Yeah.
We're going into the second week of July right now, bro. They gotta get moving because they gotta promote the fight. They gotta have ample time to train for the fight. They're cutting it close, no?
They're cutting it real close. I mean, what are they? They're pulling a Mayweather here, where he doesn't announce a fight until like 2 weeks ahead of time. He tells his opponent, you know, he's been training all the time and watching video on him and everything. Yeah, it's insane, right?
Yeah.
Crazy. All right, well, let's talk about the fight. Now, we just talked about who Canelo's going to fight and everything like that, and who's he going to fight, man? Listen, nobody knows. But those are the names being batted around. I mean, about 50 different names. So let's talk about the fight that should take place, that contractually is going to take place, but not set yet, all right? And that's Anthony Joshua versus Andy Ruiz, the rematch. Apparently is not set yet. There's a hold up on this fight, and I got to be honest with you. I don't know what it is. Anthony Joshua was videoed in training but within the last few days. They showed him in the gym. He's moving the bags and stuff like that. But it's still not set. In fact, I'm hearing zilch on this fight. I'm hearing absolute, this is like radio silence. The only thing I've heard is it could be in Madison Square or could be in Cardiff. You know, obviously the location hasn't been set yet, but that doesn't seem to be a big deal. That seems like something that, that could be, you know, it could happen very easily. You know, we could pick the location out very easily. I mean, what's the holdup on this thing, man?
Well, you said something very interesting. You're seeing footage of Joshua training, right?
Yeah.
Have you seen any footage of Ruiz training?
No, in fact, the opposite. I've seen him, you know, right. driving in cars. I've seen him eating Snickers.
Yeah.
I've seen him, you know, out, but not training.
Going on talk shows, doing interviews.
You know what? I did see a thing where he is in the ring training. You know, it looks like he was keeping sharp more than anything. It didn't look like.
I haven't seen anything. So
yeah.
My whole point is this.
It could have been an old video, for all I know. But
you're hearing stuff from Manny Robles. It could be Joshua. It could be someone else. You're hearing things like that. Why would you even say something like that? Like, there's got to be something going on that side. I'm not saying that the fight's not going to happen. I'm not saying that they're going to pull a fast one. What I am saying is, I think they're playing hardball.
Yeah.
I think they're playing hardball, and I don't think that they're just going to knuckle under whatever Eddie Hearn says. So I think. Like I said, this is just my opinion. I think Al Haymon and Ruiz's management team has been in his ear, and they probably told him some things. Hey, you know what? He wants this. Tell him you want that. Oh, they're going to pay you this. Tell him you want that. You know. And we already know the Zone wants this fight in New York. Eddie Hearn has said as much. And I don't think that's going to be a problem, but I for some reason, I just think the issue is with Ruiz and the money. That's just I think it's the money. The money's usually a lot, you know, the last stumbling block when it comes to making a fight. No.
Well, listen, what are we fighting for here? I mean, what are they getting the ring for? Yeah, I mean, do you honestly think they get in the ring for legacy? No, they're getting the ring to get paid. And anybody who says, you know, I'm fighting for legacy, blah, blah, that sounds great in the news and sounds great in an article and everything like that.
Yeah,
if that's the case, would you get in there and fight for free? No. 100% no. 100% no. So legacy has nothing to do with it, man. Legacy has nothing to do with it. I'm trying to get paid. And again, man, if they offered him, I guess, what was the, they said it was like 10 to 15, 10 million, I guess?
10 million, yeah, 10 million.
For the rematch?
That's the rumor.
The rumor is 10 million. But let's talk about Buster Douglas when he beat Mike Tyson. I don't think he could rematch Mike Tyson again. I don't know wasn't he in trouble or I don't know what.
Mike Tyson ended up going to jail.
Yeah, I don't know if he ended up going to jail prior to the second or he was in trouble. I don't know. But anyway.
He's in the process of going to jail. That's why he fought in a rematch.
Yeah. So Buster ended up fighting Evander Holyfield.
Right.
Now, what did he get? He got about $5 million. How much did he get in the first Tyson fight?
I heard it was $4
million. $4 million in the first fight.
That was in 1990.
When he became champion, his very next fight, he got what, 25?
25 for Holyfield. This is 1990. What's the cost of inflation?
For a minute.
Yeah.
Let that sink in. He got $25 million for his first title defense. Andy Ruiz is rumored to get 10.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's gotta be the money. I'm gonna see if I can open up an inflation calculator and see how much $25 million would be worth today.
Because they said they were talking like $50 million. Who said that? That was who said $50 million? He should. Was it Teddy Atlas?
Yeah, Teddy Atlas
said that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's nuts that they only want to pay him $10 million for that, and then to pay him $10 million to go over to the other guy's country. It's not fair, man. It's not fair. And if I were Andy Ruiz and I was handlers, hey, I'd be thinking the same thing. Like, hey, you know, you want this? We want this. You know? And Oscar, I think Eddie Hearn came out and sort of needling Oscar about the Triple G situation. I bet Canelo gets signed, and Oscar came back and said something to the effect of, I heard they're having trouble signing the Ruiz rematch and this and that, and those two are going at each other. you know, listen, man, I mean, you guys are all on the same network, supposed to be on the same team, trying to make this, you know, trying to get your fighters out there and everything like that. It's tough, man. It's tough.
Do you want it?
Yes.
Do you want to hear it?
Yes.
$25 million in 1990. In 2019, it would be 48.98 million. It was like 49 million. That's the equivalent of 49 million today.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy?
So right around 50 million. It's doubled.
Yeah.
So right around 50 million. Give it
4 million. 4 million is 4 million would be like 7.8 million.
Yeah.
7.84 million.
So you're basically going backwards. So you want to give him $10 million for this rematch. According to the rumor and everything that the rumor is $10
million. Yeah.
Yeah. What do you think is holding the fight up? You know?
The money.
And listen, if he's demanding more money, you're talking about placing this in Cardiff and all that other stuff. Look, man, it ain't your choice anymore. If you've got to pay him a lot more money than what you thought you had to pay him, that fight's got to come to the States.
I still think it's going to be in New York because the rumors are it's going to be in New York. It hasn't been finalized, but I still think it's going to be in New York. But here's the thing people are missing. Oh, well, he signed a rematch clause. Yeah, he signed a rematch clause. That's fine. But you're still going to negotiate the fight.
Yeah. How many times have we seen rematches clause where I got a rematch clause and that fight never happens? It's taken a go.
Well, the thing people want to talk about the Lennox Lewis situation. But in the rematch, Rockman got $10 million and Lewis got $11 million.
Yeah.
So it was almost a 50-50 split in the rematch, number one. And number two, Rockman got taken to court because he said he wasn't going to fight him at all. Ruiz isn't saying he's not going to fight him at all. He's saying that we're going to negotiate. And again, if this thing goes to court, I'm telling you, there's no guarantee that Hearn and Joshua would win this because, again, the judge could say, well, this guy is the champion. I know he signed this contract with you, but you put such great demands and you swayed the contract so much in your favor. This is an a lot of this could come into fact. And it's not cut and dry like the Lewis Rockman, because Rockman said, hey, I'm not going to fight him. He wanted to void the contract out completely. This isn't the case here. This is a totally different situation. A totally, totally different situation here. The judge can look at this and say, this guy's the champion, and you're going to pay him less money than he got in the first. Well, you're going to be paying less money than the guy who's the challenger,
right?
And he's the champion. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of factors. Oh, well, he's signed the contract. Yeah, but again, you put pressure on him to sign his contract. He had no choice to sign his contract. The guy was broke. You realize how the money problems he had before? He had no money. He was broke. That's why he was going to quit boxing, because he wasn't making any money.
Yeah.
He was thinking of retiring last year. Like 8 months ago, this guy was thinking of retiring because he couldn't make any money. So life changes. You know, things change.
Yeah. And he's got those belts now. And I think you're going to have to pay him. I think you wanted the shot. You paid Prince Charles Martin. You could have to pay Andy Ruiz.
I mean, he could sit there and tell the judge, if this goes to court, you know, I was broke. I said I had no choice but to sign this contract, or my kids weren't going to eat. What do you think the judge's going to do after that?
Yeah. What are you going to say?
I'm just telling you this.
It's not as cut and dry.
This looks like a bully move on the other side.
Yeah.
Now again, they have the leverage. There's no question about it. They have the leverage.
Right.
But again, are they abusing the leverage?
Corey Lee, thank you so much, man. He said, what's up, everyone? Always good vibes. Salute from Corey Lee Boxing. Thank you so much, man.
What's up, Corey? You can call in if you want to. The phone lines are open.
Let's see here. K-Brad in the chat said, I was wondering how Canelo can unify the titles when he has a belt that can't be lost since the belt was just made up 3 weeks ago.
Yeah.
He cannot. He can't unify the titles unless he starts from scratch again, I guess. I mean, I don't nobody's really clear on what that franchise belt is or means or anything like that. I mean, I don't think anybody is super clear on what it means, but we do know Wilder, Errol Spence, and Vasyl Lomachenko will be the next ones to hold that franchise title pending they win their next fights. So, interesting stuff.
Well, but, he also said that he wanted to move up in weight, too. He didn't want to fight at 160 anymore. And the Golovkin rematch would have been at a higher weight than 160. That was also said, too. So I don't know how true that is, but I read an article about that, too.
Who knows? He just doesn't want to fight him. Yeah, he just doesn't want to fight.
There's just so much shit going on right now. You don't know what to believe, what not to believe. So many rumors out there.
Well, what do you know, and honestly, you know, by them doing that, that belt went to Charlo now. Now the Zone no longer has every middleweight in the division.
Yeah.
So that kind of screwed them, too, you know, because now that just kind of gave the belt to, you know, the PBC. Now Charlo's got it. They're going to try to keep it in-house, you know. So, it's crazy, man. It's crazy.
It really is.
Let's go to Corey here. Corey, 804, you're live.
What's going on, everybody? How y'all doing today?
What's happening, man?
Man, can y'all hear me good?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, man. I'm just making sure, man. Y'all had a little bit of delay. But, we're talking about the Joshua,
the Ruiz Joshua fight not set yet, yeah.
What's the holdup, Corey? What's the holdup, you think?
The holdup is what I'm going to go is I think it's obviously is money, what Beats touched on earlier. And I agree with you wholeheartedly, Beebs, and Eric. This guy Ruiz came from absolutely nothing. I mean, I knew he had money problems, but I didn't know they were that bad where he was going to quit. You know what I mean? That's how bad boxing can get. And a lot of channels and a lot of people don't touch on that, man. That's why I really respect the hell out of Beebs. And, you know, Eric, you touch on it, you know, a lot as well. Beebs is always on these type of subjects, you know what I'm saying? The other side of boxing, the dark side of boxing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, I've been in these guys' camps. I've been, these guys that don't make it to that elite level. Everybody is not going to make it to that elite level. And you got to understand that, man. You got to understand that, you know, and it's a tough ass pill to swallow, man. When you get to that, when you think you're at that elite level, you know, when you fight for that title, when you lose, there is no guarantee that you will get back up to that level ever again. And that's exactly what happened with Andrew Ruiz. He fought for that belt, and it was not a given that he was going to ever fight for that belt again. And just look how the tables turn, man. Not only – and this is what I'm saying. A lot of people don't understand this, but this story of Andrew Ruiz is so far few in between. You rarely ever get to see a guy fight for a belt, lose, and then win three or four more belts when you do get your title shot again. I mean, it's almost unheard of. It
almost
never happens, and I don't think a lot of people think about that. What were you guys saying, though?
Well, think about this. Think about for every Andy Ruiz, the guy that puts a shot out there and actually makes it, how many other talented guys out there can actually fight on the level, who can actually fight world-class level that you'll never, ever hear of because of promotion, because of this, because of that, because of whatever? I mean, like it or not, it doesn't always rise to the top here. There's a ton of guys out there who can fight on a world-class level that you'll never, ever hear of because it's about being in the right place, the right time, the right people. A lot of everything goes into it. Eric, I
want to touch on what you said, you know. What about if they do fight for that belt, but the decision doesn't go their way, okay? But they never get back. For whatever reason, they never get back up there again. But for that 1 second, like Teddy Atlas said, for that 1 second, that one night, he had what it took to be a world champion, and they ripped it from him. How Teddy Atlas says it.
That's
and,
right.
You know,
you remember James Tiberi, Steve?
Yes, super middleweight.
The James Toney. You remember the James Toney fight?
Yeah.
And he completely beat James Toney.
He beat him clearly. He never got a first fight.
Wow.
Never fought. I've never seen that fight.
Yeah. Yeah, Google that. James Tiberi versus James Toney, super middleweight. He beat him.
And, you know, this is another thing I want to ask Eric and Beeb. I don't know if Robbie's on. I just got on. And thank you guys for taking my call so quickly, man. I really appreciate that. But, you know, I really think that, man, Henry Ruiz's story, and he's so fucking humble, man. He's so humble, yo. Like, he's not one of these cocky, arrogant, you know, cheesy-ass, you know what I'm saying, you know, wannabe fighters, you know what I'm saying, that, you know, you don't know what his style is. Is he, you know, Floyd Mayweather? Does he want to be, you know, does he want to be like Mike Tyson? Because, you know, I feel like Floyd Mayweather, you know, he said it, you know, a couple times in interviews. He said, I always wanted what Mike Tyson had growing up. And he said, when I finally, you know, was able to get what Mike Tyson had, I knew that I needed to keep it. You know what I mean? Because it's so easy to let go. And it's not so easy to let go. It's so easy to lose it. You know what I mean? And, I mean, I'm going to be honest, man. The chips were even out. This is the craziest part, you guys. The dominoes were still in effect for Andy Ruiz to lose the fight. Nobody even looks at that part.
That's the part
where if he did not finish that fight, if the referee did not stop that fight and it went to the scorecards, he could have still lost the fight.
Yeah.
Let's
just like on the
Lou
Marcos
Ortiz.
Madonna,
I mean, look
Adrian
at Lou
Brona
Ortiz.
Fight. The Marcos Madonna, Adrian Brona fight. Everybody was saying,
right,
you know, you better not fuck us over. You better not fuck us over at the end of that fight. Marcos Madonna's team told Al Haymon and, you know, Al Haymon and Sam Watson and them, you could hear it in the background. You better not fuck us over. We won that fight. And, you know, they gave it to Marcos Madonna, man. But what were you guys saying?
Yeah. Louis Ortiz, when he got knocked out by Deontay Wilder, I thought he was clearly winning that fight. Wilder was ahead, you know. I thought Arthur Spilsko was ahead with beating Deontay Wilder when he got knocked out in the 9th or 10th round. One of those things, man. It's hard, you know. Like I said, if you got a name and you're coming in there now, difficult.
I mean, that's another thing too, Eric and Beavs. I mean, just look at what Bob Arum did to Andrew Ruiz. I mean, he pretty much just left him out for dead. He literally left him out for dead. He said, we don't want anything to do with you. You obviously, you're trying to get out of your contract for whatever. You're not fighting. And Bob Arum made it so difficult. Mikey Garcia touched on it. Mikey Garcia had pretty much the same contract as what Andy Ruiz had. He had to wait it out to 2 years, and he said it was difficult. Mikey Garcia said it was difficult. He said it was a lot of fighters that probably wouldn't have done what I would have done. He said, because I wasn't getting any money, I wasn't getting paid. He said, luckily, I had money put away. But what about the guys that signed the Bob Arum contracts that don't have money put away? And I'm going to tell you guys, Terrence Crawford is going to be a guy that we need to start bringing up more and more here coming up, because his contract is coming up. His contract is coming up, and we know how down and dirty Bob Arum can be. You guys, do you guys think that Terrence Crawford will re-sign? Do you guys think that Terrence Crawford will actually see what Al Haymon's talking about? Do you think he'll give him a shot?
Well, first things first, D-Style Boxing. Thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Thank you very, very much. And to answer your question, does Terrence Crawford re-sign? I'll be honest with you, I was shocked that Terrence Crawford signed the first time, re-upped him the first time. But that being said, he re-upped with him, and, you know, the same. I was shocked, too, that Saddam Ali signed and re-upped with Golden Boy. But back in the day before he had the title. But, you know, Terrence Crawford's making a lot of money a fight. Sans pay-per-view, Steve Kim said he was probably making about $3 million. A fight, which is more than any other welterweight out there. Again, sans pay-per-view.
Well,
so,
Eric, I don't know, but we don't know. We don't know what they're making because B touched on it. That back-end money they don't talk about. It's a lot of gray areas with the Al Heyman contract and the way he pays his fighters, man. You know,
right.
And they already touched
right.
on
no,
it. You know, they touched on it, but I don't mean to cut you off. Go ahead.
No, that's very true, and it's a lot like the UFC where they can go in the back and say, hey, you know, you had a really good fight. Here's X amount of dollars. And that happens in the UFC all the time, much like it happens, I'm sure, in what we hear in PBC. Now, does it happen
with
Bob Arum and stuff? That I couldn't tell you. I don't know. I've never heard of anything like that, but that doesn't mean it doesn't happen. But if he does sign again, he's happy with the contract, but it's just kind of like, look, all the big fighters, all the big welterweights are on the other side of the street, and there's been no real movement that you could actually face any of those guys on the other side of the street. I mean, it really hasn't been, you know. So I don't know. I mean, do you want to fight the big guys for all the belts, or are you good where you are? It's up to him.
I'm gonna tell you right now, though. This goes for Beeb and Eric and everybody in the chat, man. Salute, smash that like button. When Keith Thurman and Manny Pacquiao fight, and we get one distinctive winner, which I think we will. And then when Sean Porter and Errol Spence fight and we get one distinctive winner, which I think we will, that's going to make – Terrence Crawford is going to see one of the more bigger mega fights, but which I think is going to be between Errol Spence and Keith Thurman. And then he would know that this is going to be a major fight between me and this guy. You know, if Errol Spence or Keith Thurman can even stay at the weight. You know, a lot of guys are not, you know, taking into consideration that these guys are already struggling to make weight. They've been at 147 for so fucking long, you guys. Danny Garcia said he's got two fights left. And he's been at 147 with less time than these guys. Errol Spence been at 147 for God knows how long, and he's cutting his shit out of his body to make weight, man. You got to understand at some point, and I'm being so honest with you guys, this is coming from a guy that had to cut weight before, okay? Your body can only take but so much, okay? And so you start declining, okay? You might be in your prime, but the weight cut was so significant and it took so much out of your body, okay? Your performances are starting to affect that.
There's definitely a diminishing returns. I mean, there really is. D-Style, thank you so much, man. We appreciate it. Thank you very much, my man. There definitely is a law of diminishing returns when it comes to weight cutting. And the thing that a lot of people don't understand is that there are very few natural 147s that are fighting in 147. You know, they're all cutting weight to get down there. I mean, Spence looks like he could walk around at 170.
What do you think they're fighting at middleweight,
you know?
Eric?
Yeah, I mean, they could probably all be natural middleweights. You know, Spence looks like he walks around about 170, possibly 180. He is a big guy.
He blows up.
He is a big guy.
I heard he likes to drink, too, man.
Ooh.
Yeah, I don't know. I know when I met him, he is a big
guy. Mind, man. The outside influences of boxing. Let's touch on that real quick if you guys don't mind before I head off, man. You speak on it real quick, Beavs. I mean, let the fans know, let some of the casual fans know, and maybe even the hardcore fans that probably don't know about the other side of boxing. You know, the other side of boxing. You know, what's a good word for it? The influences, the outside influences. You know, that can have so much of an effect on the inside of a fight. You guys know I was in the Jared Hurd camp. I went through two camps, okay, where I have all access, you know, with the Jared Hurd camp, man. And I'm not going to speak too much on it, man, but I've seen how an outside influence can pretty much affect this guy's, you know, whole, you know, setup, you know, his whole mojo. You know what I'm saying? And
okay, you
got to
fill it in. Oh, okay. You can't just say that. You can't just say I was in Jared Hurd's camp and I witnessed how an outside influence. Come on, man. You got to give us something.
Hey, man, I've had hours of conversations with Jared Hurd and Ernesto, and I've just talked to Ernesto, his former head trainer, you know, for, you know, like literally right before it came out in the news, okay, and right before I said anything about it, you know, me and Ernesto talked for an hour and a half on the phone, and he pretty much said, look, man, you know, he said, it's either them or me, you know, and that's all I'm going to say, man, you know, it's, you cannot, if you're the head trainer, okay, if you're the head trainer, okay, you demand your fighter to do X, Y, and Z for you. When he starts telling you, well, these guys need to come until I can do this, or this needs to come before I can do that, when he starts being, you know, when he starts telling you what he's going to do and, you know, how he's going to do it, you pretty much lost your fighter. And I'm going to be honest with you. You know, what are we moving again, B? Where the fuck are we moving to? Where are we going?
it looks like he was adjusting his chair or something. Sounded like a whole bunch of boxes falling.
The bees moving, crew.
Dude, what are you going to put me in? Are you going to put me in a straitjacket? I can't move. You going to put me in a straitjacket? My back was sore. I decided to get off my chair and reposition my back, bro.
How much is that chair weigh over there? You're pushing around.
God damn, dude.
I tell you, it's the Iron Throne, man. It makes noise.
Tell Lois to get you a new chair over there.
I mean, my back, I haven't repositioned my back. I'm sitting for 2 hours. God damn, what are you doing to me, man?
D-Style, thank you so much. He said this is to forgive Beam for moving. D-Style also says that yesterday's welter or today's welterweights would have been yesterday's middleweights. With the same day weigh-ins, and he's right. He's 100% right.
Yeah, Corey.
Yeah. What do you? So, how do you feel about it, Beavs? I mean, are you done moving, or what are we gonna do? Hello.
Can I speak? What can I do? Since you're putting the handcuffs on me tonight, I can't move. Can I talk?
Go ahead and talk, man. I ain't gonna rob you tonight, man. I'm gonna let you talk.
The thing is this, man.
Here we go.
You've got a lot of trainers in these camps that are getting paid very well, and a lot of times they go along for the ride. Now, the trainer that you're talking about, Jerry Hurd's trainer. He seems like he's a real one, right? He's speaking up.
I don't mean to cut you off. Beavs, but Ernesto Rodriguez has been with Jared Hurd since he was 15 years old. Since he was 15 years old, and he's never wavered from everything he says. Okay, from what I was told, it was right after the Harrison fight. Is when shit started to hit the fan a little bit. Then it started getting out of hand for the Laura fight. Then it just got, you know, immensely, you know, crazy for the Julian J. Rock Williams fight. So if it got that crazy for the Julian J. Rock fight before they even fought, before they even hit the main stage, what kind of performance you think will we have seen from Jared Hurd if all of this shit is going down in the background? You got to understand that, man. Boxing's a two-sided street, man. You know what I'm saying? For real, it's mental and it's physical. A lot of this shit has to do with the mental game. You guys know that. Come on, man.
Let me jump in here for a minute, Corey. So would that be Jared Hurd giving a vote of no confidence to his trainer? Is that what we're saying?
Man, what it is,
his
trainer is a God-fearing man. His trainer is a pastor. Okay, so his trainer doesn't drink, doesn't party, doesn't do anything. Ernesto Rodriguez.
Sure.
Is, you know, it's pretty much through and through. He's been like that from day one. He's actually an ex-SWAT officer. So he just retired right before so that stability is there. That stability is there. I'm not saying that Jared Hurd doesn't have a father, but he's a good father. His father gave me the only interview that he had, you know, for the post-fight interview. I was the only channel that got his dad said, you know, Corey, do you want to get an interview, you know, before Jared Hurd leaves? I said, yeah, Pops, thank you, man, because they know me. They took me in, you know what I'm saying? And that means a lot to me. So I'm not trying to talk down about the camp, you know. But at the end of the day, man, a lot of people are saying, well, you know, Ernesto has to leave. Well, you know, this has to happen. This has to happen. First of all, you guys don't even know the half of it. I'm not talking about Eric and Beast. I'm talking about all these other YouTubers that think they know what the hell is going on, and they haven't even stepped foot in the gym before or even met these guys. You know what I'm saying? They're just reading what they think is going on. You know what I'm saying? What he say and she say said. You know what I'm saying? You know, but Ernesto's a very God-fearing man. He goes, like I said, he goes to church. You know, he's an ex-retired cop, you know what I'm saying, for fucking, what, 20 years? You know, so, you know, Jared Hurd knew what he had to, knew what Ernesto was going to ask of him every time they went to camp, okay? And, you know, to even make it even more, you know, clearer for you guys, you know, Ernesto told, look, you know, told Jared Hurd, look, you know, for the Jared Hurd, for the Julian J. Rock Williams fight, we're actually going to be going, you know, he asked Jared Hurd, look, we're going to the Olympic training facility or something. I forgot, I think it's in Colorado or something like that. Jared Hurd pretty much said no.
I think Colorado Springs.
Yep, Jared Hurd pretty much
said
no.
Jared said no, we're not doing that?
Jared said no. So that should tell you enough right there, you know what I'm saying? You're talking about a guy that did anything for you and has been there for you since he was 15 years, since you were 15 years old, since you were a child, damn near, you know?
So can I ask you a question?
You
can start, I ask you a question real quick? I don't mean to cut you off. I was going to ask you a question real quick. Do you think that the relationship is damaged right now, or do you think that Jared Hurd realizes, hey, I fucked up, I should have listened to Ernesto, that's why I lost? How do you think this is going to play out, you know, in the rematch?
I'm going to be honest, man. You know, from what I've been told, they officially parted ways. So they're officially not, you know, a team anymore. And this is recent. You know, this is all recent. You know what I'm saying? This is very recent. So, you know, Ernesto and Jared Hurd have officially parted ways. And it sucks. You know, it sucks. Jared Hurd actually came to the gym and ripped off all of the posters in the facility in front of Ernesto. And, you know, it kind of hurt, man. You know what I'm saying? It kind of hurt, man. And, you know, kids look up to Jared Hurd. You know, for him to do that, it was kind of, you know, Ernesto was taken back by it. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, there's an interview out there that, you know, Ernesto was talking about Jared Hurd, but he said pretty much like, you know, he said he was telling the truth. You know, he's saying that outside influences, you know what I'm saying? Pretty much what I just told you, he said the same exact thing in the interview. And Jared Hurd listened to the interview, and when he finally came, because he went on vacation right after the fight, you know, Jared Hurd went on vacation. There was rumors of him drinking. There was rumors of him, you know, doing all types of stuff. You know what I'm saying? Now, I'm not saying any of that's true, but what I am saying is, you know what I'm saying, you're damn near celebrating. Obviously, you got to get your mind off of a loss, you know, but you're on Instagram. You're partying. You know, you're having a great old time. It's almost like he won the fucking fight. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I've just never seen somebody go, you know, obviously you got to get your mind away from it. You know, we understand that. Boxing can be a very brutal sport mentally. But when you're doing things like that and you're going, you know, to Mexico, you know, partying and stuff like that, and, you know, you got your cut. This dude's cut man was wearing sunglasses and put Vaseline in Jared Hurd's eye. He couldn't even fucking go out the corner and see what was coming ahead of him. Okay, his corner man had sunglasses, not prescription, you know, not prescription glasses. He had designer sunglasses on, and he was just supposed to be, quote unquote, his professional cut man. Okay, that's what we're saying. The outside influences can affect the way you perform, and you guys can go look at it, man. You know, it's you know, it's black and white. You guys can see it. You guys rewatch the fight. You guys can see where his corner man put a chunk of Vaseline just clearly in his eye. You know what I'm saying? And he clearly couldn't see. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, a lot of people on Twitter were saying something about it. You know, when the fight was over, the cut man's children was like, just don't even go on Twitter right now. You know what I mean? Because it was just like that, you know. But, you know, Jared Hurd had to, like you said, B, you know, did that affect, you know, all of that, you know, him losing and everything? Like, if he would have won, it might have went on for another camp, you know. But it was eventually, it you know, pretty much Ernesto was like, it's them or me. It's them or me, man. I've been here from day one. These guys just came in here after the, you know, right after the Harrison fight, right after he became a world champion. The guys just come out of fucking nowhere. You don't even know where they're coming from. They start coming from, you know, they're your boys, they're your this, you're that. And then, you know, Corey, he said, Corey Lee, when you ever came to the camp with us, he said, why didn't you ever ask, you know, Gerald Hurd and his friends, you know what I'm saying, how long did you know him? Because I thought that they knew each other since Gerald Hurd was a child. They had just started coming to the gym a year before I got there.
Wow. Hangers on. Hangers on. The entourage gets bigger, man.
So,
crazy.
You know, that's what I'm saying.
All right, Corey,
guys,
we're
going to
jump off here, man.
Oh. All right, man. Y'all have a great show, man. All right? Thank you, man. Peace
right,
out,
man.
You guys. Have a
Thank
great
you
show.
So much, man.
Later, Bees and Robbie.
All you guys remember to follow Corey on YouTube at Corey Lee Boxing. So, and he's got some good stuff. His interview with Gerald Hurd after that fight was pretty good. That was really good. I mean, it's really captures everything that goes. If you want to know what goes on in the fighter's mind after he loses, that really captures it. D-Style, thank you so much, man. He says, I demand to know if B voted on my polls. B?
I did.
You did.
I always vote on the polls.
There it is. B loves the polls. There you go. All right. I think that's going to do it for this edition of Ringside Reporter. Remember to catch us on Sunday when we talk about all the fights that took place this weekend, all two of them, I guess. But we'll have a bunch of news. We're probably going to have a bunch of news, a bunch of updates, and all that other good stuff. So definitely join us. And until then, we will see you next time.